ABC Radio Australia.
The leaders of Papua New Guinea and Australia have signed a communique agreeing to the text of a new defence agreement. It paves the way for the Puk Puk Treaty, which will be signed once the cabinet of both countries approve it. Despite being delayed, the PNG's cabinet unable to meet this week, Prime Minister James Marape is adamant his government will sign off on the treaty.
The process of cabinet is confined to the cabinet itself. That's the reason why you call it cabinet. What happens in cabinet stays in cabinet. What comes out is, in a democracy, majority agrees. And as I say today, the cabinet will have a handle on this matter. As soon as cabinet finishes it, it will then be processed to the next stage. And we anticipate to have a quick turnaround. It will not be delayed. It's an important, monumental occasion to commemorate our 50th anniversary.
Once in force, the treaty will elevate defence relations between Papua New Guinea and Australia to an alliance and integrate the two military forces. But what will this mean for Papua New Guinea? Joining us this morning to talk more about this proposed Puk Puk Treaty is Jerry Singarok, former commander of the PNG Defence Force. Good morning, Mr. Singarok.
Yeah, good morning.
Firstly, do you share Prime Minister James Marape's confidence that this treaty will be approved by PNG's cabinet without delay?
Well, I think the Prime Minister Marape got it wrong. The cabinet does not have the authority to enter into a security treaty because it violates a potential violation against the PNG constitution. And therefore, the first process is for the cabinet to determine whether we enter into a long-term security treaty. And then it has to be tabled in parliament. It has to be debated in parliament because it will require a constitutional change. The constitution is everything to us because it implicates Papua New Guinean soldiers or Papua New Guinean citizens working with the Australian army for the interest of Australia. This is about Australia. This is not about Papua New Guinea, because Papua New Guinea is a sovereign country in 1975. What Australia sees as its threat and enemy is not the same as Papua New Guinea. We're a sovereign country. We can enter into an agreement for joint training, joint exercises, but when it comes to facing a common threat, and it's common knowledge that Australia sees China as the potential threat. And I must say from the outset is China is not Papua New Guinea's enemy. And that's why there's a lot of speculations about the Puk Puk Treaty. It's a disaster if we enter into this treaty without understanding the long-term implication on Papua New Guinea's constitution and sovereignty.
Thank you very much, Mr. Singarok, for that. We understand that the Prime Minister Marape had said that the government had asked for it, the PNG government had actually asked for this. What are you hearing on ground on this, especially?
Well, right across those very experienced strategists and lawyers, constitutional lawyers, have already made contact with not only myself but other former commanders about our views. And their views are quite similar to ours, is that whilst we acknowledge that Australia is our closest friend, the issue of sovereignty is paramount. Papua New Guinea is an independent country. There has been no public debate. This matter has never been tabled on the floor of parliament for a parliamentary debate because, like I said, there's serious implications not only on the constitution but on the sovereignty of our nation.
That's
my take.
Okay. Do you agree that it's a procedural delay and one that will be signed off once cabinet meets?
Like I said, the cabinet can sign it off. The cabinet can sign it off as the prelude to a debate in parliament, because, like I said, to absorb the PNGDF or Papua New Guineans into the Australian order of battle is a serious business, because it means bringing Papua New Guinea into Australia's interest. Like I said, a Papua New Guinean is a Papua New Guinean. It's not an Australian. We have issues of status of force agreement. We have issues of joint cooperation, but it doesn't mean that we go and fight together against a common enemy. And let me remind listeners that Papua New Guinea declared itself to be friends to all and enemy to none in 1975. That policy has never changed. That policy has never changed. And I am hoping that the Prime Minister Marape and his Defence Minister and senior cabinet ministers will look at the long-term implications of what they're getting our country into. This is geopolitics. This is, this is superpower rivalry, and they're taking smaller Pacific nations into the fight. And we have to be very sensitive. Let me assure listeners that China is not our enemy. China is one of the largest trading partners with Papua New Guinea.
I'm talking to Jerry Singorok, a former commander of the PNG Defence Force. We're chatting about PNG's military future and a proposed treaty with Australia. Mr. Singorok, one of the goals of the proposed treaty is to integrate the two military forces. The PNG Defence Force is a smaller partner in this operation. What impact would this have on PNG's military?
Well, the word, the operational word is integrate. How can you integrate the Australian Defence Force or PNG Defence Force into the Australian Defence Force? It requires a very, very intense scrutiny of the Constitution, and obviously Section 202 of the Constitution gives roles and functions of the PNGDF. That particular section has to be amended to take into account the absorption of the PNGDF into the Australian Army. And like I said, there's too much at stake on the basis that suddenly Australia is now appears to be interfering with the sovereignty and the constitution of our country just to meet its strategic interest and for the defense and for the interest of Australia. That's all I can say. This is nothing to do with Papua New Guinea's safety and security. This is about Australia's interest. And what I'm saying is that why can't the ADF, without signing this treaty based on the defense cooperation program, which we have already, come and rebuild the defense force? Why are no Australian aircrafts being used by the PNGDF pilots? I mean, how do we justify this? There's a lot of things that are not making sense as far as I'm concerned, because the whole process has not been thought through. And that's why I'm saying that we should stop. Marape should stop and realize the long-term implication on the sovereignty of Papua New Guinea. And I'm saying that if Australia wants Papua New Guineans to join the Australian Defence Force, then it should make it clear. Then Papua New Guineans will have to now apply for citizenship, go to Australia and work as Australian citizens and join the Australian Army. It's simple as that. You cannot be a dual citizen and join either army. It has never, it's not heard of. That's why I'm saying that there's a serious implication on Section 202 of the Constitution.
Thank you, Mr. Singorok. Do you think there will be public opposition when tabled in Parliament?
I have no idea. I mean, the matter is just being discussed now because of the events of the independence. It's now finished, and I'm sure a lot of Papua New Guineans will wake up to realize that suddenly Australia is knocking on our doorsteps to absorb the PNGDF or Papua New Guineans into the Australian army. And I'm saying that, well, it's a welcome move. We got 2 or 3 million young Papua New Guineans who are looking for jobs. I mean, this is a great opportunity for them to move to Australia and become Australian citizens and join the Australian army. But not at the expense of the sovereignty and the constitution of Papua New Guinea, and that's my point.
Mr. Singarok, Australia faced delays in signing security arrangements in Vanuatu last week and PNG this week. Is this a sign of reluctance by Pacific countries for exclusive security arrangements?
Well, all you can do, like I said, most of the Pacific nations are fully aware of the superpower rivalry in the Pacific, and this is basically Australia and USA trying to lure Pacific Islands countries not to enter into some form of agreement with China. It's all about their interest, and I'm sure the Melanesian Spearhead Group, I'm sure the Pacific Island leaders are fully sensitive about the behavior of Australia and U.S. in light of a possible threat from China. And they're just trying to lure smaller Pacific nations into the geopolitics in relation to power struggle in the Pacific. It's simple as that.